Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. It's so great to be back with you today as we trudge along in these winter months and doing social distancing and all of that. The Lord really laid upon my heart to just share a therapy with everyone today that I have just found so incredibly helpful. But before we dive into that, let me give you a little background. In 2017, we had the privilege of introducing you to Carol Lozier. And so go back and listen to that recording if you haven't heard it. But Carol joined the podcast and she walked us through the process of choosing the right therapist to meet our family's needs and just gave us great, great depths of insight. And so again, if you missed that one, I encourage you to go back and listen because the information was so incredibly helpful to me and I know it would be to you. So just as a reminder, Carol Lozier is a licensed clinical social worker and has been in practice for over 30 years. But what you're going to love and what I've grown to love and appreciate about Carol is that her specialty is working with children and teens who and families who have a history of foster care, adoption, trauma, just any difficult backgrounds in their life. And it's just such an honor to have her back because she shares our heart for misplaced children and for teens who are struggling. And so 3 years later, here we are. And so I just wanted her to come back and share her wisdom with us today. So Carol, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. I can't believe it's been 3 years. Gosh,
I know.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it's almost. Yeah, it has. It really has. It's just been amazing, though, Carol, to see how, because I know people who have just been able to sit at your feet and you've just walked their families through healing, just to see how the Lord used your gifts and your depth of knowledge to help navigate so many families through this difficult path of trauma and difficult seasons, you know, because seasons change and children grow and they go through different developmental stages. But you've worked with children and teens from all over the world, haven't you?
Yes, I do. It's, you know, I mean, growing up, I was not a believer. And I think even back then, the Lord was working on me, you know, because he was already giving me this heart for kids. Like I can remember as a teenager wanting to work at a daycare near my house and they wouldn't hire me because I was too young and I was so heartbroken.
Yeah. Well, the Lord was already moving in your life at that time.
Oh, yes, completely.
Wow.
But yeah, so I do. I work with kids from all over the world and I feel so honored and privileged when families bring their kids here to work with me because they're all such a gift and they're all so beautiful and adorable. And yeah, I feel incredibly blessed that I do the work I do because it doesn't feel like work at all.
Well, your families love you and some are dear friends of mine, but Carol, you often say that you love helping people heal their trauma. You love helping people heal their trauma. And I know you're a constant reminder to families who may be in a wilderness time or just a tough season and their children. I like, because you say healing can happen. It can happen. And so as an adoptive mom, can I just tell you how encouraging that is? Or just as a mom, I mean, take off the adoptive part. But you're so encouraging to us when you say that you love helping people heal their trauma. And you're not afraid of that.
Not at all. Like, well, you know, like you said, I've been doing this for 30 years. I cannot believe I mean, because I feel like even as a very young therapist, I wanted to not just be a therapist, but to really understand people and to know how to help them. And so I've really been in situations where I've made sure to learn from other therapists who really knew what they were doing.
Wow.
You know, each job they give you a supervisor when you work in an agency. And most of the time I was like, oh my gosh, this person is not going to give me more knowledge. And so even as a broke young person, I would always pay for supervision outside of my work because I wanted to really help people. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that I was given the tools I needed to help others, because that's important to me. Mm-hmm. It's important that I can really dive in there and make a difference in someone else's life, because, you know, God creates us to be a person in this world that he wants us to be.
Yeah.
And if something happens where we can't be that person, like, I'm going to do my best to try to help them heal what's happened so that they can be that person.
Yes.
Because they have those gifts. And so, you know, if they can't use their own gifts, then they're, you know, they're stuck and they're stymied. So I do my best to learn different therapies and to really understand the best ways to help people.
Yeah. Well, I know your life's work is including, which I appreciate, putting tools in the hands of families who need help walking through trauma or seasons of just maybe their kids feel stuck, you know, mm-hmm. and behavioral issues maybe. And so last May, you released a new resource, and I have it here in my hands. I'm just so excited to share this with our listeners. Tell us about the new therapeutic activity book.
Yeah, so this is a book that, okay, so well, let me backtrack for a minute.
Yeah.
So about a year ago, I finished a 15-month intensive training in a therapy called DBT, or dialectical behavior therapy. What I found was that, you know, I had learned and used for many years the processing therapies to help people process through their trauma. And what I found was, while that trauma was lessening, kids and teens didn't have sort of those daily life coping skills that they needed, because all their energy had been going to just getting through life with those traumas as burdens.
Mm-hmm.
So once those traumas are lifted, now they're lacking coping skills. And so it actually was a mom of, one of the kiddos I was working with said, "Hey, I heard about this therapy. Would you be interested in learning about it?" And I was like, "Sure." And so at that time, as I was learning about it, I was, "Oh my goodness, this is exactly what the kids are missing."
Mm.
So I started learning about it. And then I did that 15-month intensive training. And believe me, it was intensive. It was almost like a master's program again.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really intensive. And I'm still doing, so part of DBT is being on a team of therapists. So I'm on a team of therapists right now, all over the U.S. And so we meet once a week to talk about cases and to give each other ideas.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's a community.
It is. It's really neat. And then we have once a month a trainer from some of the top trainers in DBT. Once a month, we have a woman that helps us.
Mm.
So it's that continued, really deep learning that I think is so important for all the families I work with. But so once I really started learning DBT, you know, it's a very behavior-based therapy. And so a lot of the people in this field are very research-oriented, which is very cool. I love research. But it's very academic. And so I started doing groups with the teens and working with the kids, and the handouts and things they had were so academic. I mean, you know, lots of text, no pictures, words that a lot of the kids I see, it was, you know, too, the reading level was too high for a lot of them
in the vocabulary. Mine aren't going to do that.
No, most kids aren't. Forget it. Like, it's hard enough to capture their attention. Put something academic with all those words in front of them and you've lost them. So I started to, in my own practice, I started to just create my own activity sheets, my own handouts, worksheets. So a handout is basically explaining it to the child or family. And then the worksheet is homework or learning the skill. So I was just creating my own to use here. And then I was like, well, I'm going to make these into a book, because the ripple effect, you know, I'm limited by the number of kids and teens that I can see.
Right.
But if I can create something that makes sense and is, because DBT is pretty, I mean, the skills themselves are somewhat straightforward, But again, if you go back to those books that are already out there, it's hard to understand because they make it very research oriented and behavioral. And so it's hard to kind of wrap your head around it. So I tried to make the concepts easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So that not only, you know, some therapists don't have the time or the money to go through these trainings because they're expensive.
Very expensive. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to make it so that, again, there's a ripple effect. This book, in the hands of multitude of therapists, can ripple into multitudes of families.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that not only am I helping the kids and families in my practice, but I'm helping lots of other kids and families that I don't even get to work with.
Yeah, that's what I love about it, because I don't live close to you. So
right.
I wish I could have time with you to sit and learn from you, but that it's just not logistically possible. And I just really believe that these skills are so important for our families to hear about today. I love what you said in the book. You said teens need to feel heard. Now, you have them for all ages, but the book I have at home is for teens. But I have mm-hmm. this highlighted in stars. You said teens need to feel heard and understood, and to know that you, as the adult, are walking alongside them in their learning and healing process. That is perfect. That hits the nail on the
yeah.
head for me, because these are life coping skills, aren't they, that you're teaching?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
They are.
Can anyone learn these skills? Like, so I take this workbook at home. Mine is the one, DPT, Therapeutic Activity Ideas for Working with Teens. I just ordered it online. Can anyone mm-hmm. take these at home and learn to use these with their families?
Absolutely. I mean, I know the DBT research people would not like me to say that. but you know, if a family has a therapist that's close by, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, that would be the best way to go. But let's face it, reality is there's not always a therapist who is trained in this.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I wrote it so that families can pick it up and parents can learn and implement it. So you're right. So there's two books. One is for teens, and that's ages 13 to 18. And then the child book, DBT Therapeutic Activities for Kids and Caregivers, is for kids ages 6 to 12. Now, the other thing that I did include in the child book is a section in the back specifically for parents, because one of the things that happens is parents don't realize inadvertently sometimes they're reinforcing the wrong behavior. And
yeah.
so they want to see a reduction in certain behaviors, but when you're paying attention to the behavior, inadvertently you're reinforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like it was super important to include these parenting skills. So some of them are what we call acceptance skills, and that's kind of what you were just talking about.
Right.
Coming from that place of understanding and walking alongside the child is those acceptance. And in particular, it's validation, validating their feelings and validating that piece of truth. So it doesn't mean that we want to say to the child, yes, it's okay, honey, it's okay if you smack your sibling on the head. No, that's not okay.
Right.
So we don't want to validate that, but we can always validate their feelings. I understand you were really angry that, you know, little Johnny took that toy right out of your hand. And at the same time, we still have to make wise decisions. You still have to do the things that we've talked about. And so that's still validating. That's still helping the child feel heard and understood, knowing that you're connecting with them on their feelings.
Yes, and then connecting with them on their feelings. One of my favorite sections here is when in the workbook is you call it turning the mind. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you validate their feelings, but then you help them, you draw a picture of a fork in the road, and they can either go toward rejection or acceptance. But you help them turn the mind to see we've got to learn to live in a broken world where sometimes you face things that are unfair, you know, and so you validated their feelings, but at the same time, we've got to help launch them into the real world that they're facing. And you do a great job of that in this workbook.
Thanks. Well, I don't want to take any credit where credit isn't due. All these skills are created by Dr. Linehan. But yes, I've tried to make it so that it makes sense to everyday life.
Yes.
And one of the things I did in the child book was I took that same skill and I made it one where I've broken it down, helping kids see what road they want to choose in life.
Yeah.
So the left side of that same image is the rejecting road.
Yeah.
And the right side is the agreeing road. So that agreeing road leads to something that turns out well, uh-huh, that we want. And the rejecting road turns into heartbreak. So that we can help them see they always have choices. They always are at a point where they can choose. And then there's always that pathway from the rejecting road back to the agreeing road, because we want them to know, hey, yeah, you might find yourself or make a choice that lands you on that rejecting road, right? You may refuse to talk about your feelings. You might break a rule. You might start to not listen and obey.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have that option at any point to take that pathway back to that agreeing road where you do listen. You do talk about your feelings. You do obey. You do what your parents have asked you to do. So I think that is really an important skill that I kind of did transition, that is not typically a DBT skill, for our young kids, because I want them to see and understand they've got to make the right choice. They've got to make a good decision for themselves.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because it is it's a retraining of the mind, like you said. And as children go through different developmental stages, and just because someone, a young adult is 20, they may be more 16, you know. And these workbooks would still, I have found them to still be incredibly helpful, even though you say they're for 13 to 18 for the teen. I've still found them incredibly helpful. And just the visual there, that any time I can stop, if I go down to the rejection path, if I, you know, because I've talked about my feelings, which is so hard for a lot of people, especially kids from trauma. It's so hard for them to be transparent and talk about their feelings. But once we start training, you know, that giving care, receiving care, they learn to start receiving that care, that it's okay to talk about your feelings. And then, like you said, it's not okay to hit your brother. But there's a difference there. So, but at any time, for me as the mom, I want to say, we're here to help you to make the right choice. But you are teaching them that you have to make the choice. And,
that's right.
You know, and it seems so simplistic, but it's incredibly hard sometimes to implement.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, the other thing is, I love these DBT skills.
I
you know, the,
yeah.
the DBT skills in this book were actually originally created for adults. So these are the same skills that adults use, of course, different language and different, you know, examples and things like that. But it's exactly the same as what the adults are taught.
Yeah, because they're life coping skills is what they are.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've learned from these skills.
Me too.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I had these when I was a little kid. I think they would have been really helpful through middle school and high school dealing with all that.
Well, so kind of speak to caregivers a minute. What do we need to know? We said they're life coping skills. What do we need to know about stepping into implementing this with our kids?
I mean, I think you could, you know, there's a couple choices. So one of the things is a parent could get the book and kind of read through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely not heavy text. So read through it, kind of see where you want to start. You could start picking out individual skills that you think would be a good place for your child to start.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just start at the beginning and work your way through. And you're just going to take one skill at a time and work on that skill until you feel like you and your child together understand it and are using it well. So here's the thing. Sometimes parents get a little bit confused and they'll say, you know, I'm teaching my child the stop skill, for example.
Mm-hmm.
which I love. This skill has been around forever. I can remember learning this in one of my first jobs when I was about 25, and we would teach it to the kids. But so what you're going to do is learn that skill together. Like we talked about, walking alongside your child. Sometimes parents get a little confused and they'll say, my child is learning this skill. And then they'll say, oh, little Johnny, you've messed up. You need to do your stop skill. Well, for most kids, that's going to be a huge trigger, mm-hmm. right? And right away, you're in a power struggle. Instead, you want to be like, oh my goodness, you know, almost like play by play out loud. I notice that I'm not making a good choice right now. I'm starting to feel a little impulsive. I'm starting to do things that I know are going to end up, you know, not turning out well. Do you feel that way too? Hey, how about together? How about if we talk about that stop skill right now? So it's the walking alongside as opposed to, hey, you need to do this skill.
Yeah, it's a holistic approach. That is just mm-hmm. an absolutely, and it's just the beauty of being able to get it in our hands at home and really implement that. And it's, you know, again, it's life coping skills, you know, that we need to start when our kids are very, very young. And they've helped me so incredibly, just so much. But would this, so you're talking about maybe, okay, let's get back to the stop skill, helping teens. Mm-hmm. What would that kind of look like with a teen to use the stop skill?
Well, I think with a teen, you know, you first want to look at, so the stop skill can be used in a number of ways, but most definitely with impulsiveness.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So you first want to look at, okay, what areas of behavior or does my child tend to be most impulsive? Does my child tend to threaten to run away? Does mm-hmm. my child tend to steal food that they're not allowed to have? You know, what are the behaviors that you're really looking at? And maybe even saying to your kiddo, like, hey, like, you know, do you feel like this stealing food is working well for you? Like, you know, we've got that one drawer where you can have all the fruit and vegetables you want. You know, you've got your basket right here that you can have. You know, I know you probably don't like these consequences you're getting. Mm-hmm. So can we work on this together? Hopefully the child will say, yes, that can always be a stumbling block. But hopefully they don't want to continue having those consequences. So, you know, they would agree to work on it with you and say, and that way then you can say, all right, well, what is a word or a sign I could use that would let you know this is a good time to use our stop skill? Mm-hmm. So one of the things you could do, like, especially if you've got that image of the turning the mind skill for the younger kids is, yeah, which road are you on?
Yeah.
So you can use that language. Hey, which road are you on right now?
Yeah.
You know, I can see that typically when you know that, you know, you've seen me come home from the grocery and I've got X, Y, and Z food, that's when those impulses begin to start. So let's think about our stop skill, or which road do you feel like you're on right now?
Yeah.
So that's the place where they can begin to talk about using stop skill. And one of the things I like for people to do is to practice it when you're not in the moment,
mm-hmm.
because that's when the repetition of the behavior really kicks in the moments where the challenge arises. So even just memorizing the skill. So what does stop mean? Right. You want it. So as long as your kiddo's on board, and even if they're not,
right.
So if your child's not on board, then maybe what you can do is either say it out loud to yourself, even if they don't like it and they get irritated by it, or talk about it with your spouse. Hey, remember we're working on that stop skill together. Oh yeah. What does that mean again? Well, the S stands for stop, and the T stands for take a deep breath and think, and the O stands for options and outcomes, and the P is pick the best one and then do it.
Yeah.
Right. So you're saying it out loud. If the child is on board, you want to have just a fun little, hey, let's try to memorize this together. What is stop? So when you have moments in the car, hey, what's that stop skill mean? And then actually practice it, right? Yeah. So you're going to freeze, like stop and freeze, and then take the deep breath together and think, all right, what are three ways to solve this problem, or three ways to solve the impulsive urges that you're feeling? And what are three outcomes? How does that turn out, those three options? And then of those, all right, which one is the best one? And then just pretend to do it. Because what we know is behavior is from habits, mm-hmm. right? And so if you can build that positive habit when you're in that stressful situation, they're much more likely to do it just from that memory of repetition.
Yeah. And you often say we repeat what we don't repair. And man, you've put that on your social media account and it just stuck with me because it is so true. We just fall back to those yeah. patterns that we don't, you know, we just keep repeating hurtful patterns when we don't repair them. And you know what I've learned, my kids are older now. I had to launch my kids to learn in harmony with other people. You call it a life in balance. And you know, that's what we're preparing them for. More than anything, I want my kids to know the Lord and live in relationship with them. But I also want them to have very healthy, good, nourishing relationships in life because that's where the joy comes. And so mm-hmm. without, you know, I think what I love about these things you share is we're teaching them how to live a life in balance, a life of joy, a life that has healthy relationships. And so that the Lord can continue to just speak into their life and they can continue to, you know, to help others too. We just see them move from a place of, you know, those things over and over that kind of help keep them stuck, as we talked about earlier, to a place where they're just living in that sweet spot of life, you know, mm-hmm. that the Lord has for them. And that's what I love when you said we repeat what we don't repair. And it is so very true.
Absolutely. It is. And I think, you know, any of us in life know that's true.
Yes.
Because even within ourselves, even if you don't have trauma, you still find yourself repeating something if you haven't worked on it. So a life in balance is super important. And you know, the thing that I learned from DBT that I really love is that it's not so much about being positive or negative, mm-hmm. right? Because I think people think, oh, if I can just teach my child to be more positive. Mm. Well, what happens is then in the brain, if they're not being positive, they switch over to negative. And so we want to try to avoid teaching them just to be positive. Mm-hmm. We want to teach them to be in balance. Mm. Right? Because then your goal is to be in that place of balance and you're not flipping so much from negative to positive.
And that's a very, you know, to me, that's living in reality where you're living in mm-hmm. balance, where you can see, yeah, this was a crummy thing that happened today, or this is a tough situation, but, and then you bring down those truth principles.
Yes.
Yeah. We used to do a thing at our house where we'd say, what was the best part of your day? Like we've done this for 30 years with our kids. And I've kind of shifted that at dinner time to saying, what are three things you felt today? Mm. And, you know, that's really helped launch us into using some of these skills that you talk about to kind of open the door without me just saying, OK, now we're going to talk about the stop principle. You know, it's kind of
right.
like, how were you able to use that? And, you know, I encourage parents to I know kids aren't supposed to check their phones at school, but they do. And so, you know, to just check, you know, my daughter will check hers at lunch or whatever. But just to text a little reminder of what we're working on together, you know, and that
Absolutely.
I'm thinking about her and that her day's going well, or I'm thinking about my sons and that as they're stepping into adulthood, you know, for their decisions and their choices. So I have just found these principles, Carol, these different skill sets that you teach in here to just these survival skills and all to just work across the board for all of my ages.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, yeah, they're invaluable, really.
They really are. So where can we get, where's the best place to get your resources?
I think it's easiest to go on Amazon
uh-huh.
and look there.
Okay. And just, mm-hmm. I encourage everyone to follow you on social media. And so where do we find you there?
I mean, I think I'm on all of them, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Great.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere. And then I also have a website that's just under my name, carollozierlcsw.com.
Yeah. Well, you're a very busy gal, and we're so grateful for your time today. And just for your willingness to just talk about just this one little, you know, this one huge area that you've stepped into with DBT. And I encourage everyone to to dig around, learn more about it. And it truly is hands-on tools you can use at home. And Carol, that's just so kind of you to just put it out there. I don't know, just so thoughtful and humble of you to put it out there where families can get their hands on them and use them at home. And Carol, thank you, because Carol has also provided free sample worksheets that you can print off and begin to use at home and kind of get a little taste of DPT and see what you think about it. And we'll be including those in our show notes. So just a reminder, everyone, that God wants us. He wants our cooperation, our surrender to His tools of healing. And so remember how the Israelites had to do. God gave them the manna, but they had to bend down and pick it up. And the Lord provides daily for us. And so here's just another tool you can bring in and use in your home, but I'm telling you, it's a great one. And remember, the Lord is about relationship and daily nourishment. And I really believe that these skills and the DBT workbooks would really help you in dealing with different situations in your home and building relationships with your kids, either kids from foster care or adoption, or just those that that you're, you know, just kind of struggling and those you want to keep healthy relationships with. So just a reminder to bend down and pick up a tool today and let the Lord use that with your family. As always, thanks for spending time with me today. It's such an honor to walk this journey with you. So share it with a friend. And if you need more information, check us out at sinrelief.org.
The world tells us our differences should divide us, but the gospel, it has a different story. Our mission, our calling, His command, is a mission that unites every Christ follower in a way that stands out, a way that doesn't make sense to the world. Join us June 13th and 14th at Send Conference to be refreshed and celebrate the church together on mission, a free event hosted by the International Mission Board and North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Learn more at sendconference.com.